1 John chapter 2. And this evening we will be looking at verses 3 through 11. We looked at the first two verses in this chapter last time, where the Apostle John tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and that he is the propitiation for our sins. That is, that atoning sacrifice that does put away the sins of his people. Now tonight, beginning with verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Thereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." The title of my message this evening is Knowing Him, Knowing Him. In the Lord's Prayer that is recorded in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And our passage this evening begins with these words, "Hereby we do know that we know him." We do know that we know him. John Gill commented that the him, "we do know that we know him," that the him may refer to the Father with whom Christ is an advocate, or else who is the advocate. It may refer to Christ, who is the advocate and the propitiation for our sins. But remember, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him." To know the Father in a saving way. Now, all men know that there is a God, and many people refer to him as God the Father. And by creation, he is the Father of all men. But to know God the Father in a saving way is only through the Son, knowing the Son in a saving way, because he is the only way to the Father. Now, tonight, these nine verses that we are looking at, I'm going to divide into two divisions. First, John gives evidence of those who know and are in him. I want you to notice that two times in these verses, John writes, he that saith he knows him, and he that saith, he abides in him. As I looked at these verses and these words, it reminded me of something that the Apostle James wrote in his epistle. He said, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say?" What profit is it though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Then, of course, he went on to declare that faith that does not produce works is dead. It's not saving faith. It's like a corpse without a soul. That is, faith that does not produce works. And John here gives the evidence that a man isn't just saying. Man's not just saying that he knows him. He's not just saying that he is in him. But hereby we know, he says, we know that we know him. First of all, he says, a person who knows him keeps his commandments. A person who knows him keeps his commandments. A person doesn't keep his commandments in order to know him, but this is the effect of knowing him. We know from the Word of God that salvation is by grace. It's by grace through faith. It is the gift of God's love. We are saved by our works. We're not saved by our works or by our obedience to his commandments, but men are saved by his work. That is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect obedience to God and God's justice in our stead and in our place. But we are considering him as both the Father and the Son. Hereby we do know that we know him. That we consider this him, speaking of the Father and also of the Son. So this means, when John says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, we're talking about the commandments of God the Father as well as the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. The commandments of the Father. That is, we usually refer to this as the moral law. The commandment, or the commandments, I should say, that the Son gave to his church in this new dispensation. So we have the commandments of the Father. If we understand this him as referring to the Father, hereby we do know that we know him, if we're talking about the Father there, then it is the Father's commandments. And if it's speaking of the Son, then it is the commandments of the Son. We keep, those who know him, keep his commandments. And that would include the moral law. Now, we do not say, and I know I've met men over the years who have taught this and have said this, they say that the Ten Commandments is the believer's rule of life. Now, we do not say that. We do not say that because we know that the Ten Commandments were part of that old covenant. Part of that old covenant was ceremonial. And when we think about that covenant, that law being part of it being ceremonial, then we know that that commandment concerning the Sabbath was also ceremonial. And sometimes people say, well, why was that included in those Ten Commandments? Well, my understanding is the commandment to keep the Sabbath was included in those Ten Commandments to show that the law is one whole, one entirety. I know men break it up into the moral law, the ceremonial law, the civil law, but the law was the law. It was all the law. And to show that, I believe, is the reason we have that commandment concerning that seventh day. And you know, there are people today who believe, well, the Lord turned that seventh day into the first day. But there's not a word in the Scripture to support that. There's not a word in the New Testament to support that somehow the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. No, the Sabbath is the seventh day. And the Sabbath is ceremonial because there were about, I think there were about eight different Sabbaths that the Israelites were to keep. It wasn't just the seventh day Sabbath, but there was Sabbath of months and the first day of the new moon. I mean, there was a number of Sabbaths that they were commanded to keep. And they were all listed together in the same chapter in the book of Leviticus. But when we read here, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, those moral commandments, yes, we keep them. But it had always been wrong to lie. It didn't become wrong to lie when God gave the Ten Commandments. No, it had always been wrong to lie, to steal, to kill. We are saved in the new covenant established in Christ's blood. But the moral precepts in that old covenant are unchanging. They're unchanging. And certainly they would be included in these commandments here that those who know him keep. The Lord's commandments would also include the ordinances of the baptism and the Lord's Supper. And notice, if you will, here in 1 John chapter 3, here's one of these commandments of the Lord. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." This is one of those commandments that those who know him keep. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we love one another. Also in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." And let me give you John Gill's comment about these commandments. He said, particularly, his new commandment of loving one another may be chiefly designed, that being what the apostle has greatly in view throughout this whole epistle. The love of God that is perfected, notice in the verse which says, verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." The love of God that is perfected is not God's love for his people. God's love is perfect. God's every attribute of God is perfect. No, it is the believer's love for God which is perfected. His love is perfect, and his love is unchangeable, and his love doesn't vary. But for believers, we know that sometimes our love grows cold. Remember the church in Ephesus. This is the one thing that God told that church that he had against them. The Lord Jesus Christ told that church in Revelation chapter 2 that he had against them. They had a number of things that he commended, but this one thing, "Thou hast left thy first love." And so this love is perfected in us as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And it is a sincerity here, the sincerity of the believer's love, which is manifested by keeping his commandments. This is what John tells us. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." But hereby we know, this is the first one of these marks of the believer in 1 John that we are given, whereby we may know that we have been born of the Spirit of God. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And his commandments are that we love one another. And then notice, secondly, a person who is in him. Let's look at the scripture again. Verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. That we know him, first of all, we keep his commandments. We know that we know him because we keep his commandments. And we know that we are in him because hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. A person who is in him ought to walk as he walked. Now, a person who is truly in him will always be in him. A person who is in Christ, if you are in Christ tonight, you have always been in Christ because he chose you from before the foundation of the world. The union that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and every believer is an eternal union. It's not something that takes place in time. He chose his people from before the foundation of the world, and he chose us in Christ, in him. So a person who is in Christ will always be in Christ. He is one of his sheep, and the shepherd, the good shepherd, is not going to lose one of them. Not one of them will be plucked out of his hand. He is in Christ as a member of his mystical body, and that body is going to be whole. It's going to be complete. And when he appears before his Father, he will be able to say, "Here am I and the children which thou hast given me." And not one is going to be lost. But those who are in him should walk even as he walked. Now, the word "as" here doesn't mean equally, for that is impossible. That is impossible for any child of God who still has that old nature to walk as Christ walked, equal as he walked. He walked in perfect obedience. He never had a sinful thought. He never spoke a sinful word. We are to walk as he walked, but that doesn't mean our walk is equal with his walk. But we are to walk as he walked. And the one verse of scripture that comes to my mind is that passage in Acts, which tells us he went about doing good. That's the way we are to walk, as he walked. We are to go about doing good. And so should those who abide in him. Daniel is a good example of a believer walking as he walked. Daniel. And I say that because, you know, Daniel had his enemies. He had a number of enemies. He was high up in the government, you might say, there in Babylon. He had his enemies because people were jealous of him for his position that he had. And in attempting to find something to accuse him of, they came up with this: "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning his God." Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that testimony? For people who know us to be able to say, "Well, if you're going to see anything, find anything to accuse him of, it's going to have to be concerning him and his relationship to God, because he's walking even as Christ walked." Now, the second part of the message, John gives a commandment that is both old and new. Both old and new. Beginning in verse 7, he said, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. From the beginning of time. When we read here "from the beginning," you've had this commandment from the beginning. How old is this commandment? Well, Man has had this commandment from the beginning of time, from the beginning of his creation. When Adam was first created, he was created in the image of God. And we know that image, not a physical image, because God doesn't have a body. He's a spirit, but it is a spiritual image, a moral image in which Adam was created, and God is love. So Adam was created in the image of God, that is, with this commandment, to love God. And think about this. If Adam had not sinned, I know that's a supposition, but if Adam had not sinned and he and Eve had children, who had children, who had children, and the population increased, wouldn't it be wonderful to be living in a world where everyone loved everyone? And that's the way it would have been. Because this commandment they've had from the beginning. Man has had from the beginning. John says, I write no new commandment, but an old commandment to you. The law which God gave from Mount Sinai. That could be what John means, from the beginning, because you remember the Lord Jesus Christ told that man who asked him, what's the great commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said, the whole law hinges on those two commands. So this commandment they've had from the beginning. John says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. Now, when he said, which you had from the beginning, they had heard this commandment when they heard the gospel. He's writing to believers. He's writing to saved individuals for the most part. This commandment they had heard from Christ. They had heard this commandment from the apostles who went out preaching the gospel. This command would not be new to those to whom John wrote this letter, for they had heard it when they heard and believed the gospel. The gospel itself is a story of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So first of all, John says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. They had heard this command. But then he turns around and says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. The old commandment and the new commandment is the same commandment. There's not two commandments, there's one commandment. And it is a commandment of love. The commandment is love, and it is true in Christ. Notice that in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him. Who is him? Christ. Or the Father. God is love. Christ is love. This commandment is true in him. And then notice, and in you. The commandment is love, and it is true in Christ, for he kept God's holy law, fulfilling it in his love to God and his neighbor. And then the apostle says, the darkness is past, because the darkness is past. I understand what John is saying here is the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom in which all men are born, the kingdom in which we were born, and the kingdom in which these to whom he was writing is a kingdom of darkness. But now, being saved by the grace of God, he says the kingdom of darkness is past. And we're not in a kingdom of darkness, but we are in the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is a kingdom of light. The kingdom of light. The true light, he says. The true light now shineth. It's now shineth. The Son of righteousness has risen with healing in his wings, as was prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, I want you to notice once again that John wrote, he that saith. Notice that in verse 9. He that saith, he is in the light, but he hates his brother. Is he in the light? Is he? He says he's in the light. He says he's walking in the light, that he's in the kingdom of light. Is he? Is he? When it's true that he hates his brother, is he in the kingdom of light? No. He is still in darkness. He's still in that unconverted state. And I think about what the Apostle Paul wrote. Let me turn back here to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. We're in a kingdom of darkness, right? All men are by nature. That's the way we come into this world, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. Now, notice, hateful and hating one another. That's true of all men by nature, hateful and hating one another. Now, John supposes the case of this man who says that he is in the light, but he hates his brother. Is he? Is he? No. John says he's in darkness even until now. He's still in the kingdom of darkness, and it's manifested by his hatred of the brethren. Then in verse 10, he that loves his brother. Now, he doesn't just say that he loves his brother. That's not what John says. He doesn't say, he that saith he loveth his brother, did he? No, he that loveth his brother. He loves his brother. He loves his brother. He doesn't just say that he loves his brother. He loves his brother. He loves his brother, and because he does, notice he's careful. He's careful. It says there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Because he loves his brother, he's careful not to put a stumbling block in the way of his brother. And this especially brings us to the point of Christian liberty. There are some things that we have liberty in Christ to do, but others may see things differently, and we would not want to be a scandal. That's what that word really means, to be a scandal unto our brother in Christ because we love him. We would forego whatever that liberty might be for the good because of love for our brother. Remember, Paul said, if meat would make my brother to offend, I'll eat no meat. Now, that is a picture of love, isn't it? That's what John is talking about here. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. He's not going to do anything or say anything by the grace of God. He's not, at least. It's his purpose not to say anything that would offend a brother or sister in Christ. Listen to these truths that Paul wrote about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Love is not easily provoked. If we love our brother, then we're not going to take offense at every little trifling thing, like some people seem to do. No, love is not easily provoked. And love suffers long. This is what Paul says about love, isn't it, in 1 Corinthians 13. And not only that, but he said, love bears all things. Bears all things. If we walk as he walked, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about how he walked and how he has dealt with us, has he showed patience to us? Absolutely. Has he showed mercy to us? Absolutely. Has he pardoned us? Absolutely. We should have patience with our brother or sister if we love them. And our Lord prayed for even those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, notice verse 11. I'll close. Here we have in verse 11, someone who hates his brother. He hates his brother. Notice, but he that hateth his brother. Now, John tells us three things about this man. He that hateth his brother, first of all, he's in darkness. He's in darkness. He's still in the kingdom of darkness. Not only is he in darkness, but he walks in darkness. That's the way he lives. That's his conversation or his lifestyle. He walks in darkness. And the third thing John says about this man, he doesn't know where he's going. He's in darkness, he walks in darkness, and he doesn't know where that darkness is going to lead him. But we know where it will lead him. It will lead him to utter darkness unless the Lord grants him repentance. It will lead him to utter darkness where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. He that hates his brother is blinded by the prince of darkness. I thought as I prepared this message of something, is this the same man, this John, is this the same man who one day wanted to call fire down out of heaven and destroy the Samaritan? Is this the same man? Well, certainly it is. But he's, by grace, he's learned some things, hasn't he? By the grace of God. And now, inspired by God, the Holy Spirit writes this letter. And I read this morning that as an old man, and it's thought that John lived to be over 100, I believe, the oldest of the apostles and the last to die, that when he addressed a congregation, he always said these same things. Little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. May the Lord give us that love for him and love for one another that we should have. All right, Bill, let's sing a hymn before we're dismissed.
Amen. Let's sing first, second, and last verses of number 3.